Hey, man, go ahead and be seated. Here I am again. Well, it's been an awesome weekend. Friday night, we had a little last-minute ultimate Frisbee game.
Yeah!
It was a glow-in-the-dark Frisbee game. And we had the Green Lanterns versus the Pinkies.
Yes!
And those also matched our colors as well. And the Pinkies, we came up, that was the team I was on, we came up with a lot of the Pinky themes. So we'd hold Pinkies while we prayed. We'd all hold the Frisbee with our Pinkies. But we had to get some kind of unity going on. And we were praying that God would give us enough mercy to allow us to win a game. Sadly, we were down 5-6, and we were going to 7. And the other brothers on the other team were pretty aggressive. I mean, Brittany got the Frisbee slapped out of her hands at least once. I mean, I was just glad the sisters weren't bleeding or bruised or anything like that at the end. And so gratefully and incredibly, at the end of the game, it's 5-6. We tied it 6-6, and now it's game points. So we all got our pinkies on the Frisbee, and we're ready to go. We throw the Frisbee out. And then luckily, one of the sisters and Rashad was on our team, which is all, like three players in one right there.
Yep.
And we ended up winning 7-6, and it was one of the best comebacks of the day for me. We came back and we won the game, and the Pinkies were the winners.
Come on, Pinkies!
So God made the little fingers the powerful fingers right there. Amen? It was incredible because it was just got me thinking about comebacks. And so the next day, yesterday, we went and we saw the Mandela movie.
Yeah!
And of course, Aaron was down in Phoenix, and Aaron's, one of the inspirations he's had his whole life was Nelson Mandela. So Nelson Mandela, it was in South Africa. I don't know if you know the story, but he was one of the most powerful men of the 20th century and really revolutionized the government of South Africa and destroyed apartheid as he led the ANC, which was a movement that was really fighting for equality throughout the country. He was jailed for 30 years. And so a few years ago, Aaron went down there on a trip and was so inspired that he changed his major and wanted to do exactly what Nelson Mandela did, be a public defender to fight for the poor and fight for their rights. Is that intense? So needless to say, Aaron was fired up about the movie. And so when he came back, the first thing we did off the plane is we grabbed some food and we went straight to the theater so we could all watch it together. And it was incredible seeing this man who came from nowhere, fought for rights, became a lawyer, and then was put in prison for 30 years. And it showed him as a young man and then becoming an old man in prison, which was intense.
Yeah.
And finally, he comes out of prison old, and then he's still fighting. And so finally, because of how out of control the country got, they decided that Nelson Mandela was the man to lead the country, and he was made president after being in prison for 30 years.
Wow.
Is that intense?
Yeah.
And one of the most incredible scenes of the movie is as he's walking to publicly address the people after being elected, and the doors open, and there's thousands of people. There's generals on each side saluting him as he walks out to address the nation of South Africa.
Yeah.
And it was one of the greatest comebacks ever of the 20th century. It was awesome.
Yeah, come on.
Thinking of comebacks, I had to think about San Francisco. Amen?
Come on, San Fran.
And I thought, what comebacks could be in this great city? Amen? And there's been a lot.
Yep.
But I think something close to many of our hearts is Joe Montana and the San Francisco 49ers.
Come on.
And if you don't know Joe Montana's nicknames, he has two that are some of the most popular. Number one was Joe Cool, because he was always cool under pressure. The second one was Comeback Kid, because in Joe Montana's NFL career, there were 31 fourth quarter games where they were down, where he led the team, the 49ers, to a victory. 31 times. One of them was a Super Bowl championship where they were down by 3 against the Cincinnati Bengals in 1989. And cool and under pressure with 3 minutes to go, he completes 10 of 11 passes and they win the game with 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
And Joe Montana's just, his legend was almost a living legend still. He's obviously one of the most famous quarterbacks and has made the 49ers famous just by being on the team. So, Joe Montana, the comeback kid. Awesome stories. One of the stories was during that game, as he was sitting there, this just describes Joe Cool and the faith and the comeback heart he had. 3 minutes left, Super Bowl championship, 33 years old, down, and here they have one last chance to win this Super Bowl championship. And so Joe Montana, of course, as every quarterback, should be thinking about the plays that they're about to do, right? You know, where they got the whole thing on their arm and they're figuring it all out and they're yelling at all the people to make sure they got the play down. So Joe Montana calls everybody together and goes, okay, guys, check this out. I was looking up in the stands and I think I just saw a famous comedian. Can you believe it? It's John Candy up in the stands. I just saw him right over there. And that's what Joe Montana was thinking about with 3 minutes left at the Super Bowl championship down by three. That John Candy was there in the stands and he saw him. See, that's the heart of somebody who's fired up, has faith, and is ready to know we're going to bring it back. Uh-huh. And it's not a big deal because it's going to be awesome. We're going to win the game.
Yep.
That's the comeback kid of San Francisco.
Come on.
But down by three, at 33 years old, with 3 minutes left, you know, it's interesting. Because Jesus also has a pretty good comeback story, too. But at 33, he wasn't down by three in a football game. He was killed. He was put on the cross and died. And after being down for 3 days, he came back up and was resurrected. That's a little bit better than Joe Montana's Super Bowl championship. To see somebody resurrected from the dead after 3 days would fire anybody up. And that's why we're here this morning. Amen?
Amen.
But did Jesus have that same comeback heart? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when he came back, what was his mentality? What was he thinking? Well, let's take a brief look into John chapter 20.
Come on, Mike. Awesome.
And here we're going to take a look at Jesus. With the ultimate comeback of all time. Chapter 20, verse 1. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Now, if you know the book of John, that's actually John who wrote that.
Yeah.
And he had to make it known he beat Peter to the tomb. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, he's kind of poking him right there, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there as well as a burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Pretty awesome, huh? So here we see a few things. First, we see the beginning of Jesus' greatest comeback, resurrection. Pretty awesome, right? And as the disciples show up into the tomb, you get to see what Jesus did when he first resurrected. What did he do? He folded his clothes. I mean, that just is blow away. That as soon as Jesus got up after being dead for 3 days, he says, up, got to fold the linens. And so here you start seeing Jesus was just a pretty down-to-earth, practical guy. Isn't that awesome? And maybe you're convicted. Amen. All right, now let's go to verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. So this is an interesting story. Basically, the disciples are all afraid that because Jesus was just executed, that now they are coming for the disciples too. And so what are they doing? They're hiding in a room with the doors locked, praying that nobody finds them. They don't want to die. Is that intense? Whatever. I mean, I know Jesus just died, but we're next. We better lock the doors. And so imagine the apostles all in the locked room, cowering in fear, afraid to lose their lives. Isn't that intense? Because we're so used to hearing them martyred at the end of their lives. We forget there was a point where they were cowering in fear in this locked room. And they're all afraid. And they're looking around. And Peter's just staring. And everybody's staring at each other. And they don't know what to do. And they're probably trying to act like, nothing's wrong. But, oh, what was that sound? What was that sound? Oh, my gosh. What was that? You know, it's just a mouse going by. Oh, my God. Oh, we're going to die. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is there. He's like, hey, what's up? What's up, guys? And they're like, we don't even know what it does, but all you know is Jesus just shows up. I mean, wouldn't that be crazy? You're scared, and then all of a sudden there's somebody else in the room. And they're just like, hey, what's going on? What are we doing? Why are we here? What's going on here? Is that intense? Now let's look. Thomas wasn't there, so there are only 10 apostles at the most in the room. Verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I'll not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked. So a week later, were they still afraid? Yeah. They were still in the same room with the locked doors. A week later. After they saw Jesus. Those the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them. Peace be with you. So here they are. They're still afraid. They're like, yeah, we saw Jesus, but who knows what that was? Maybe we're all just so scared we hallucinated. And then Thomas is like, okay, well, I got to see this for myself. And then they're all sitting there afraid, like, oh my gosh, what was that? Oh, they're coming to get us. And then Jesus is there. Hey, what's up? What's going on? Hey, guys, what's up? Isn't that intense? Are you starting to feel that kind of cool, calm, collected Jesus right here?
Yep.
He's like, what are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? You're locked in this room. Let's go to Luke. We'll get to see a parallel passage of the same thing. Okay, chapter 24, verse 36. It says, while they're still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. So there's that same exact little scenario that we remember from John. Uh-huh. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. So here now you know how they react, right? So he says, hey, what's up? And they're like, ah! And they freaked out. They all freaked out when they saw him. Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It's I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. So he's like, guys, come on. Look, touch me. touch me. See, I'm not fake. I'm real. Is that crazy? That's what he did. Peter, come on, just touch me. Just touch me. Just see, look, I'm not a ghost. I'm real. Is that crazy? That was the scene. When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything to eat? They gave him a fish, a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. So here, along with all the craziness, Jesus is like, guys, I'm super hungry. I know you're really scared and you think I'm a ghost, but do you got anything to eat right now? I need some food. Interesting, right? See, you see, Jesus, when he came back, he was just like maybe probably even greater than Joe Montana with being cool. I mean, Jesus just comes out, he's like, okay, guys, look, I'm not a ghost, just touch me. And by the way, I need some food, come on. You're so frightened and scared that you haven't even been hospitable to me right here. I've just been dead for 3 days. I'm starving, please. So here, we're seeing a lot of awesome things. But we're seeing that Jesus is the ultimate comeback kid of all time. Even after coming back from death, he's here, he's talking to the apostles, they're freaking out. And Jesus is just like, hey, what's up? What's going on? Guys, touch me. Come on, look, I'm real. This is all right, I need some food. Now, something that we can miss and that I learned from somebody who's studying the Bible is Jesus' reaction is pretty amazing given the circumstances of what happened a few days before this. When we were in this Bible study, we were studying out the cross. And usually this is a study that's so intense that you're just thinking, this guy is just going to start weeping right now just to see what God's done for him, and which is usually the case. Yeah. But before he did, there was something he said right before that. And he said, after I said, I was like, bro, what do you think about this? He said, this is amazing. Jesus wasn't even mad.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I never thought of that one. But you would think, literally 3 days before this, these are the same guys who all ran away and left Jesus to be beaten and killed. And they'd been following him for 3 years. Even Peter cursed him, cursed his name and said, I don't even know him, while he was looking at him. And Jesus heard it. So how would you feel coming back to your 10 best friends who you've been with for 3 years, who all left you to die, and you did die?
Oh my God.
Is that intense? Wow. I mean, wouldn't you say, hey, guys, let's talk about what just happened.
D-time.
We need to talk. You guys said you weren't going to leave me, but literally, I just got killed. Now, luckily, I'm God, and I'm right, and I resurrected. But you guys all left me for dead.
Dang.
What? I mean, you're lucky that I'm even here. The crazy thing is, you never see Jesus mention it.
Yeah.
He doesn't even bring it up. And he actually seems pretty fired up to be back, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, hey, what's up, guys? You know, not, hey, you guys messed up. You deserted me. You could have been doing this too. But instead, he has no anger. There's no resentment. There's no bitterness.
Yeah.
Jesus's faith has allowed him to go past all of that.
Yeah. Come on.
Because he knows the story isn't over.
Amen.
It's just beginning.
Amen.
It's just started.
Come on.
These guys who are hiding in this room all afraid are going to go change the world.
Come on.
And Jesus' faith changed those men to the point where they did go and they all died for the cause. Is that intense?
Yeah,
awesome. They all faced their fear and said, I will never be afraid again. And they never were. Here, it's incredible to see that Jesus' faith got the job done. He was the ultimate comeback. One of the cool stories that I was watching since we had a break this past week was Rick Pitino as he coached the Louisville team to the 2013 NCAA basketball championship. That's a mouthful. And as he did that, it was intense because in Louisville, he missed, they lost three games in a row. And he said, in this city, if you lose three games in a row, everybody freaks out. Everybody thinks it's over. Season's done. Why even try? Wow. And so he went into the coaching room and told everybody, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go 16 straight right now. And we're going to win the entire championship. And he said, don't get any more tattoos of your mom or all these different things. You need to get a tattoo of me on your back. Because we're going all the way here. Isn't that crazy? And so all the players were like, okay, well, if we do that, then you got to get a tattoo of the college and the year that we won. And he said, okay, I will. And so they won 16 in a row. They won the NCAA championship. And Rick Pitino had to get a tattoo on his back of the Louisville 2013 NCAA champions. Is that intense?
Yeah.
But that's a guy who came back with everybody against him and said, we're going to do something awesome. Because he had faith. And that faith took the team along with him.
Yeah.
Jesus, even greater, right?
Yeah.
I mean, here they're hiding in a room. These are the 12 that deserted him, and now they're afraid to die. And he comes in with total faith, knowing we're going to change the world. Isn't that amazing?
Come on, that's awesome.
Here I think you see that even in the worst of circumstances, here come the dogs. They love our service. They're welcome too. Count them as visitors. All right. So the awesome thing is that Jesus comes back even though there's so many imperfections in his disciples.
Yeah.
You know, thinking of our 2013, I can literally say this has been one of the hardest years of my life.
Yeah.
I never thought mission teams would be so hard. You know what I mean? Because all the stories you hear, they're like glorious, right? You never hear all the heartbreaks and all the destruction and relationships and things like that. And so I just listed a few things.
Come on.
So the first one, and this is kind of awesome but sad too, was Cornell and Tia leaving. And going to Denver.
Yeah.
That's hard. I mean, Cornell was like Martin Luther King when he would speak. You know what I mean?
He is.
And Tia just like lights up the room when she's here.
Yeah.
And to lose them was a big hit. They were some of our best people that we had brought on the mission team. And then they're sent off to Denver. We had two weddings in the church. I mean, that was hard because that's a lot of preparation.
Yeah.
Now, a hard part of one of those weddings is that it ended in a divorce the same year.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah,
and you just think, man, what a hit on a mission team.
Yeah.
On a church, that's hard. On a mission team, it's catastrophic. That's intense. We had a family member commit suicide to one of the disciples.
Come on.
And to think, that's intense. Yeah. To see parents die. There's been people who've lost their parents on the mission team while this past year in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, for me, I've seen some of my best friends fall away who were paid interns for the church. People I loved and gave my heart to leave and say, forget this and abandon the work and just go back to where they came from. That is super difficult.
Yeah.
There's young Christians falling away. I mean, there's been a lot of young Christians that have fallen away this year.
Yep.
And people that we've loved, cared for, ate with, laughed with, dreamt for their futures in God's kingdom.
Yeah.
And they're gone.
Yeah.
And think, oh man, that is hard too.
Yeah.
But what's incredible is that through these hits over this year, I mean, it's ironic that it's 2013. 13 is not the best of numbers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know if there's any coincidence in that. I don't really go by that stuff. But, I mean, it's just ironic, I think, at least. But to know that with all those things, there's even more stuff than that. But still, as a church, we've pushed forward. It's amazing. You look at our financial presentation last week, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger each month. The attendance grows each week. The membership grows. The contribution grows. And to think we have an incredible church. Even with Satan's attack, the church has pushed forward in 2013. You think, man, this is awesome. If we didn't get stopped by that, then amen. Hopefully nothing will stop us. Amen. Now, I think you look at the church and you think, what an incredible church.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally think this church is probably one of the best churches in the world.
Come on.
You know what I mean? Not like, because you think, what? But there's so many churches. Well, kind of. There's a lot of churches, but there's not a lot of true discipling churches. Very few. And just to look at the disciples we have here and think, this is an awesome group. Like, if I were to go to any other place, I would miss San Francisco. I don't want to go anywhere else. This place is awesome. I mean, I was with the Kids Kingdom teachers, and we were just talking about a few of the heroes. I mean, first there's the Marrieds. And the Marrieds have left everything to come and start a church here. And they've given up a lot, too. And I think each married couple has all these cool little stories that are already becoming legendary. Like John and Laura Zamora. And all the help and service and generosity that they've shown to so many people. Just think, man, I feel like John in some ways is like the grandfather or father of the church. Grandpa John, you know? And just think, he's given his heart and his life. And Laura has as well. To think of Gary and Cindy moving away from the Bay to be trained down in L.A. for a year, and then to come back up after a year, still getting trained, to start the San Francisco Bay International Christian Church. And to go through financial hardship and those different things, but to see it start. Isn't that awesome? Then you got the Fergits coming all the way from Syracuse. And they gave up a mansion in Syracuse, like four stories, I think. I don't know. It was when I went there. I didn't even know the people in their family because I couldn't find them. And now they're in, you know, like a three-bedroom little flat out there in Cupertino. But to know they've given up so much and now they've brought so much joy and vibrance to the church here in San Francisco has been incredible. And they've brought so much love down to San Jose and the region down there.
Oh,
I think Anthony and Lisa coming out, giving up so much to help start the church here. And leaving their jobs. Anthony had a cranking job in this cardiac department in Chicago as a nurse.
Come on.
And instead he leaves it to come out here with nothing to go off of savings to get a house and to start building the church out here. It was awesome. And same with Lisa, leaving her court reporter job to come out here and work as a receptionist where she got no respect, according to her. But now God has solidified San Jose, and there's an awesome region down there that's going on.
Come on, San Jose.
I think seeing Kelsey come out here and get restored has been awesome this past year. Seeing Ed and Alexis get restored here and be a part of the membership. With the Tim and Katie Lee, there's some more of the Marrieds. And they've really made it awesome down there in San Jose. Then we got me and Brittany are married too, and it's been awesome leading here. So amen. Of course, you got Earl and April that are leading the Mercy Worldwide efforts and really going great out there too. And they can't even keep up with themselves, honestly. But there's God, so that's good. So, I mean, just seeing what God's doing, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And that's just the married ministry.
Come on, married.
Then we got the campus and teens and singles. And to see people who are sacrificing so much, to see the girls consolidating into a two-bedroom with six girls. Almost seven for a little while. And I mean, they struggled with that at first.
Come on,
and they've gotten over it because they love God.
Come on.
Amen. Hey. Amen. You can repent right now. But God is doing awesome things there. I mean, you see so many people added this year. Lydia's come around.
Yeah.
Delaney, Ingrid, Cho at the GLC. Christian got restored this year. Ed and Lexis, of course, I already mentioned them. They were restored too. Who else am I missing?
Justin.
Darren came around last week. And then Justin was baptized as well. And just to think, man, God is growing the church. Isn't it awesome?
Yes.
And even in the face of so many intense attacks, it's still growing and moving forward.
Come on.
To think this is awesome. If God's with us, nothing can stop us. Amen?
Yeah.
And so I think, what church would I rather be in the world? Where else would I rather be? This is amazing. And one thing that Joe Montana said was that victory in 89 was the best because it was the hardest to get to.
Amen. Wow.
As this church reaches 100, 500, 1,000, 5,000, can you believe it? We're going to think this victory is awesome because the road was hard and it makes it even better. You know, I was thinking, we're so talented as a church.
Yeah.
Super talented. Every single person I think of is incredibly talented. I was thinking of Aaron.
Come on, Aaron.
The guy is a lawyer, guys. He's not training to become a lawyer. He doesn't want to become a lawyer. He's not hoping one day to pass the bar to become a lawyer. He already passed the bar. He is an official lawyer in California.
Come on.
I mean, imagine if you had a lawyer in the crowd, how you'd feel like, oh my gosh, that guy's a lawyer. You know what I'm talking about? Imagine if we said, hey, this is my friend. Yeah, he's a lawyer. You'd be like, whoa. The crazy thing is, Aaron is a lawyer. But does he carry himself with this pretense and expect everybody to treat him and was special?
No,
he's humble.
Yeah.
This lawyer is one of the most humble guys I've ever met.
Come on.
To think he's working. He doesn't complain. Mm-hmm. He could be doing other things that in the world would honestly be very, very respectable and glorifying.
Come on.
But instead, he's building the church in San Francisco.
Come on, Aaron.
Isn't that incredible? To know there's a lawyer in our midst right now. And you wouldn't even know it. Because he's such a servant.
Come on.
That's amazing.
Come on.
I mean, we got people who are, I could go on and on and on about everybody. But to think, man, there is so, so much that we have. I mean, we got incredible technicians, people who can repair windshields if you need that. That's pretty awesome. And lead businesses as well. We got people who can fix anything in your house. There's guys who can even design your next car if you wanted them to.
Come on.
Is that crazy? And if you're ever in any kind of medical situation, you got people who will take care of you there too. And if you got to say a lot of stuff, somebody can record it all probably faster than you could say it. I mean, it's amazing. And that's just the beginning. I mean, I'm just kind of saying the top things, but we got animation artists in the house right here. You got people who can teach. You got Olympians in the crowd right here. And singers. Not only is she an Olympian, she's opening for the Stanford basketball game and singing the national anthem. How many Olympians that are wrestlers are doing that? And are a disciple as well. I mean, and then you got Rashad. I mean, he's just talented on everything. Whatever you give him, he cranks. I mean, and it just goes on and on and on. I mean, music producers. You got somebody, if you got pests, they can take care of your pest control. You know, it's just, it's insane. I'm not going to tell you because he already has enough work. But guys, this church is amazing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Amen,
And to think that these are the building blocks of an incredible foundation that God is using is something that is going to be literally amazing as we look at it get bigger and bigger and bigger. Amen?
Amen.
So the awesome thing is with this awesome church, we've seen some hits.
Yeah.
And I think with all these different things, knowing that for us, it can rob our faith. And we forget how awesome what we're a part of really is.
Right.
Yeah.
So when Brittany and I were with my parents in Yosemite, we sat down for dinner. And my mom said, Mike, you've lost your faith. My mom's a disciple and she calls it like it is.
Yeah. Wow.
And I got a little ticked in my heart.
Because
I said, you down there in Long Beach have no idea what it's like to lead a mission team and have some of your best friends leave. And your own brother. But in the end, I had to think about it. She's like, you know, the ceiling of the faith of a church is its leader. And when you start getting ticked, you know, I think they're right. You know what I mean? If it feels good, it's probably not the truth. But when it gets you mad and angry, they're hitting a nerve right there. And I was like, my mom's right. And she said, you've taken some hits and it's taken your faith away. And as hard as I wanted to say that's true, I have to look back and say it is. With the hits I've taken, it hurts.
Come on.
But when my mom called it out, I said, amen. I don't want to be like that. I want to see if there's anybody who's made a comeback in San Francisco.
Come on.
And the awesome thing was at 33, Joe Montana had one of the greatest comebacks of all time.
Come on.
And I thought, that's cool because I'm 33 too.
Yeah.
And I'm no Joe Montana, but at least I can have a comeback of my own. Amen?
Amen.
And I thought, I want this next year to be amazing.
Come on.
To be the greatest comeback. Although I've been hurt and taken down, I want it to be incredible for 2014.
Come on.
To say, yeah, that year's over with. It's done. It's gone. Forget about it. Just like Jesus in the room with the apostles.
Yeah.
Say, hey, what's up? What are we doing? We're going to go change the entire world. Yeah, you guys are afraid and locked yourself in a room and all deserted me 3 days ago. But it doesn't matter. We're going to change the entire world. This is going to be the greatest comeback of all time. And so I thought, man, if Jesus, amen, if Jesus is the greatest comeback kid, then surely his followers need to be awesome at comebacks as well. And for us, we got to think, yeah, we've taken our hits, but we can come back too. If the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is it working us, then that means the comeback, it counts for us as well. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's go to Romans 6.
Come on, Mike. Come on, honey, this is great. It is awesome.
It says in verse 3, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so here and in other scriptures, it talks about how this power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work inside of us.
Yeah.
It raised Jesus from the dead and it raises us from the dead too. And now that we've been raised from the dead, we have the power to be the greatest comeback kids of all time. And nothing can hold us down and nothing can hold us back. For us, I think the awesome thing is Jesus comes and he doesn't expect the disciples to be perfect. You know what I mean? He comes back. I mean, being perfect doesn't mean that you're going to be successful. It's having faith that means you'll be successful. Having faith, knowing nothing will hold us back. Not even our own imperfections. So have we had some hits this year? Yes. Have we even failed ourselves this year? Yes. But does that determine our success? No. Because with God, now we know Jesus took some of the most imperfect people of all time and changed the entire world. For Jesus, imperfections don't matter. They literally are insignificant when you're on God's side. And that's why Jesus could come into that room with the doors locked, everybody thinking he was a ghost, and have total faith and say, guys, just touch me. Just look. It's really me. Can I get some fish? Please. All right, now let's go preach and change the world, okay? And that was Jesus' heart. If Jesus were in a football game, he could have picked out everybody in the crowd, not just John Candy, because that's how cool and calm and collected he was. Jesus was Jesus cool, not Joe cool. Amen. Jesus was the comeback king. And so for us, we're the comeback kids of the comeback king. Amen. And with that, I think we got to say 2013's over. It's had its amazing victories, and it's had its disastrous catastrophes. But that doesn't matter in God's eyes, because we're entering a new year. Amen? And so with that, guys, I want to encourage you to get some faith.
Come on.
And to start dreaming of what God's going to do. And to not let your own failures take you down. But to repent, to get vision for yourself and for the people that God is going to use you to change, and to say, it will happen. Amen?
Amen.
It's awesome to see God even changing the church even as we speak to get different people where they need to be to move it forward.
Come on.
I think Ryan has done an incredible job in Berkeley alongside Aaron and Teddy and the other brothers. And so Ryan is going to be raising up to lead the Berkeley ministry.
Come on!
And that's going to be awesome. Now, that's hard on Aaron because Aaron's been there since day one. But Ryan has been cranking. He's been taking care of the brothers. He's been leading. And that's going to be awesome as he's really spearheading the charge in Berkeley.
Come on.
Teddy will be leading the Berkeley City College ministry right there.
Come on,
and
Teddy.
So we'll have Teddy as leading the campus side. And then Aaron is going to be moving out to San Francisco to lead in the San Francisco State Ministry. Amen? And so this will help San Francisco with all the young Christians here to have Aaron as a role model to be able to lead them and help them. And Aaron and I will be working side by side at SF State to build an awesome ministry at San Francisco. Amen? So I hope you're fired up about that. Please pray for Ryan. Pray for Teddy too. And pray for Aaron and all the brothers in San Francisco as well. But it's exciting to know God has a vision for us all.
Yeah.
And so for each one of us, God has something special, but you can't lose your faith. You got to know it doesn't matter. Imperfections don't matter. It's whether you have faith or not that really matters. Amen. And with that, we could have awesome comebacks as well. Amen. So it's been an awesome year, and it's going to be an even greater year in 2014. But amen. To God be all the glory. Thank you.
Follow me.
Can you pray for communion?
Let's go ahead and pray for communion.
Come on, bro. Father, thank you so much that we're able to be here, to be able to hear your word on a sunny day, Father, overlooking the bridge. God, I pray, Father, that we can be inspired by the lesson of just coming back, Father.
Come on.
And knowing that we're tapping into the power that you've given us, Father, to be able to do that. God, I pray, Father, we can take the lesson to heart. Pray that as we reflect on the cross, Father, that we'll remember Jesus and the things he went through as we take communion right now. Please be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Psalm 439. Follow me.
My weary back had bowed me to despair. Of complaint to Jesus, how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say, tenderly,
my
My feet were also weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I hear him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross, but now we'll make the journey with your hand safe in mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love hath mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words he gently spoke to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee. Thank you.
Let's turn to Matthew chapter. Like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it and sold all he had and bought that field. I skipped a little part there. He was also very joyful when he did that. But this is an awesome scripture, and it's only one verse in the Bible. Might be the shortest parable in the Bible. But I've always loved it a lot because it shows us, as disciples, the heart of someone who's found the kingdom of God on earth.
Come on.
And that heart is the heart of, I'll give everything up just to be a part of this kingdom.
Come on.
I know for me, when I started to believe in God and found the kingdom, it was a big deal. And Mike shared a little bit about my story. At the time I was in law school and I was about to graduate. And I even got a job coming out of law school doing exactly what I wanted to do prior to becoming a disciple. But God changed my heart because I saw something that I never found in the world before. Even as inspiring as Nelson Mandela was, you didn't even find the same inspiration in that movement that you find in the kingdom of God.
Come on.
Wow.
And so for me, I just gave it all up. I said, I'm not going to be a lawyer. I'm not going to take that job that I got. I'm going to move to San Francisco, and I'm going to help plant this church in San Francisco.
Come on.
That's where God wants me to be.
Yeah.
And so I always think of this scripture, and it has a special place in my heart when I think about contribution. And so today, we're going to give a little bit of our money to God's kingdom on earth. And
Amen. For us, I think we should do it with a joyful heart. Mm-hmm. Because all that stuff that Mike shared about is really incredible.
Yeah.
The year that we've had here in San Francisco is like life-changing.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're all completely different people.
Yep.
Because of our experience in this church over
there. Amen.
I know I am like not even close to the same person that I was a year ago. And that's just because of this church here in San Francisco.
Come on.
So giving our money is like nothing.
Yeah.
It's just a little piece of everything, right?
Right.
And so today, I think we should be fired up and really be joyful that we can give a little bit to this church.
Yeah.
I'm fired up personally just about the message to come back. All of the different challenges that we've had, I think we should be giving up more and more every day to help this thing come back strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm fired up, guys. I hope that you're all fired up to come back. I pray that we're fired up to give our contribution today.
Yeah.
Let's have a little prayer to close it out.
Amen.
God, you're an amazing God, Father. God, we love you so much, and everything that you've done in this church is beyond our comprehension, Father.
Yeah.
Just to see the ways that you've worked in the disciples' hearts on a personal level, Father God, every single day to call us higher to be better people for you and your kingdom. God, we're so fired up, Lord, that we've made it a year. God, we're so grateful that you've had mercy and grace in our lives to allow us to be a part of your kingdom on earth.
Yeah.
God, just seeing all the people added to the kingdom, God, we're so grateful for them. God, we're so grateful, Father, for the campus ministry additions, for the singles, for the marrieds. God, and even for my mother in Phoenix, Arizona.
Come on!
She is now a disciple in the kingdom of God.
Wow.
God, all of these things would not be possible without you. And God, I pray that we can give our hearts wholeheartedly to you every single day. Father.
Amen.
And that shows even in our contribution.
Yeah.
That we give our money to your church here in San Francisco.
Right. Amen.
God, we love you so much, and we pray for all these things in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We're singing 739, Walking on Heaven's Road, 739.
Walking down the road, carrying such a heavy load. Sinner, lay your burden down, cause you're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, God lay down the heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sun shining every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired no more, cause you're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking heaven's road, God lay down that heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every way. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Tears, no crying there. Ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't got time to shed no tears, cause you're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking heaven's road, God lay down that heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Walking on heaven's road, you gotta lay down that heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every way. Won't you come along and join me that heaven's road?
Amen. Come on, Rashad.
Okay, so I'm doing the close, and that was an incredible service. That was an incredible message for the end of the year. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yes.
Fired up. Oh. Thank you.
I think about really just having a comeback and making a decision to have a comeback at this time of the year is really awesome.
Come on.
I can relate because I grew up watching Joe Montana.
Woo!
So all those points really hit me because I remember watching Joe Montana, and he was the comeback kid. And it was awesome. There was one pass. I think it was the catch.
The catch
to Dwight Clark.
Yep.
It was in the NFC Championship. I forget what year. It might have been in 1984. I don't remember, but
they can't.
I just remember that, and they were always coming back in the end and having that victorious ending. And I think it's awesome that we can even pray and aspire to even have that here in the church.
Yeah.
And I think the message was awesome, bro. Yeah. I think just to catch a vision and even have a dream and a plan for the new year.
Yeah. Come on.
To come back, to get behind that. I think there's nothing you can't really say against having a comeback. I think we've all felt the effects of having some challenges this year, and I think let's make the decision as a church to have a comeback year.
Come on. That'll be it.
We're going to have the singers come back up.
Come on.
And we're going to do one final song.
Amen.
Awesome.
I should have said divorce.
What's up, Stan?
Come on, Rashad.
Come on, Rashad. Go ahead.
We'll be reminded of why we are here. Turn your pages to 214.
Oh, yeah.
Go and make disciples. 214.
Come on, bro. Remind us, bro. Come on, Ryan.
Well, okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. He said to go to every nation, he said tell everyone, he said make disciples, and then the job will get done, go and make disciples.